I don't know if you've been picking up on the theme. You know, it seems like the Holy Spirit, the Lord always has a mind for every conference. And every speaker, although they've been so different, it reminds me of Alan's message this morning. Every unique individual, the teaching gifts are so different. The ministry styles are so different. But the theme seems to be, He is working on you as an individual in order that you can truly find your place in the body. You see that? So you have an individual responsibility. You're an individual snowflake. Our God is so wonderful, He doesn't make even two snowflakes alike. Isn't that right? But it takes a gajillion of them. Say gajillion. It takes a gajillion of them to make a snowball. See? Well, He is developing each one of us individually. Yes, sir. Now? I didn't think... Well, He always acts like it's His service. Like I'm just supposed to follow Him. I thought this was going to come at the last. But apparently He wants to do it now. Been meditating on all of... You know, I'm listening like everybody else and trying to find out and apply it to my life and everything just like you're doing the whole week. And in the course of it, I saw it like this. Now, we talk about all the different parts of the body. Some are seen. You know, and Dave, you remember when Dave would teach on this? You know, can the foot say to the hand or so forth? You know, and he'd say, sometimes the foot would have some complaints against the ear. Y'all remember that? He says, you women, he says, you hang jewelry off of the ear. You carefully wash the ear. You'll fix your hair so that the ear gets to be seen. The ear gets all this attention. What does the foot get? A 10-second toenail inspection stuffed into a sock, into a shoe. Nobody ever sees me, and I want you to know I support the weight of this ministry. When you can't improve on it, you just steal from Pastor Dave, right? You know? Hallelujah. Well, I was thinking about that because, boy, you listen to Nathan's messages, and Nathan is, you know, it's got a lot to do with your individual responsibility, see? Then you listen to some of the others, and it's like, okay, but yet I'm part of a body, see? So so he gave me this image, which I thought was going to come at the end of the service, shows you what I know. I saw this image of a really prickly kidney. A kidney that looked like more like a porcupine. And it had these sharp spines going out like sharp. You couldn't touch that thing without hurting. You know, this thing, it's a kidney. It's supposed to be in the body. But this thing has got the spines, okay, you know what I mean? Pointy. I saw this picture like a porcupine. But here's the kidney. It's brand new, got saved, baptized. It can Shandai. You know, kidney Shandai along, but it hasn't had much mortification yet. I mean, it's got spines everywhere. You touch that thing, you're going to get hurt. And it's going, I'm ready, coach. Show me my part in the body. And the body's going, no. No. Yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready. I don't need any. Let's go. Lay hands on the sick. I got it. There is a mortification and an edification process. Amen? That's why He has us working individually. Can I say to remove the spines? And it's not always like that. The other end of that spectrum, sometimes that's a pretty good analogy. I'll tell you another. At the other end, though, I've seen a lot of people like this. They're really precious to God, but they're like a really delicate, thin crystal vase. And boy, they're precious. Even the spiny kidney is precious to God because it represents a person. You understand what I'm saying? But the other end is like this precious, thin, delicate crystal vase that if you just thunk it, it'll crack and it'll break. And you can, you know, they're just destroyed, you know. That Gary, he didn't look at me today. I'm leaving that church. You know? And neither one of those are okay. You know, you're not, what's that? You're not ready for prime time. Now you're loved. You're accepted. He took all of us the way we are. But he loves us too much to leave us the way we are. See? So that's the process. So you work individually on your individual purging. But at the same time, you got to surrender to him because, dear heart, you don't get to choose your calling. Your life belongs to him. He calls you. He equips you. He empowers you. My kidney didn't choose to be a kidney. It was made a kidney. I didn't choose to be a teacher. I was made a teacher. You know, even William Branham, and I have high respect for William Branham, okay? Many miracles worked through that man. But one of the things that got him in trouble, he wanted to be a teacher. He wanted to teach really bad, and he was not called to be a teacher. But he was determined. Even other ministers at the time kept telling him, please, just let God use you the way he uses you. You know, it's wonderful. Nobody else even does this but you. I mean, it was incredible how God would use the man. But he was determined that he was going to teach. And I believe that's one of the things that got him in real trouble. You need to be who God made you to be and allow him to form you by the Holy Spirit. Then you're ready. Wasn't that a great service? Y'all are dismissed. I thought that was all coming at the end. But anyway, what he really wants to do today. And I'm going to really review some, and we got plenty of time. And if some of you fall asleep, remember I have that ruler. I warned you, don't eat big lunch, you know, but I think really what he wants to get to today. For years, I thought I had a renewed mind, and I didn't have a renewed mind. I mean, I'm not saying it's 100% renewed yet, but even what I thought a renewed mind was, I was wrong about that. And I know you think the only scripture we know is Romans 12, but go to Romans 12. Isn't it amazing how we've been in Romans 12 so much this week? I'm going to review some here in a minute, because there's a visual demonstration that will really help you understand the difference between a mind that has knowledge and a renewed mind. You say, well, isn't that the same thing? Oh, no, they're not at all the same thing. And you'll see that again in a minute. Yes, sir. I know you understand. Okay. Again, my job is not to ignore when he speaks. Okay. So he had me mark this verse. Many of you may have heard a message I did many years ago titled Servants Upon Horses. You don't have to turn to this. It's just one verse. It's, if you want to look at it later, it's Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 7. And Solomon is writing, of course, Ecclesiastes. And he says, I have seen, and if you read the whole passage, he's saying, I have seen such a horrible evil. Somebody should tell the king about this. This is wrong. Well, what is it that you've seen, Solomon? And at first it doesn't sound so bad, you know. But he says, I have seen servants upon horses and princes walking as servants upon the earth. Kind of reminds me of that other one that's in there. Where the tree falls in the woods, there it is. There is really a profound message that goes with that one too. But let's get to this one today. I have seen servants upon horses and princes walking as servants upon the earth. So we got three things here. We got a horse, we got a prince, and we got a servant. The horse represents the direction of your life. Whoever's sitting on the horse has the reins, and they're the ones giving the direction. There's a servant that's supposed to be. See, it's supposed to be the prince. The analogy, that's your spirit man, the real you, the part of you that's born in the image of God, is supposed to be sitting up in that horse and receiving instruction from the Lord. Your spirit is supposed to have the reins of your life. And that spirit be in submission to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? The mind, the intellect, the will is supposed to be the servant running along beside in case the master needs anything. And our minds are supposed to be almost like your laptop computer. See, you watch a lot of people and you think their phone runs them. But really, it's supposed to just be a tool. And really, the mind, the will, the emotions really is the tools to help us navigate on planet Earth. Because the part of you that's really born of God is not of this earth. It's of God. It's of the realm of God. So the servant is supposed to be running alongside, and the spirit man is supposed to have the control, the reins of the life. But what's happened, and this is what Solomon saw, what's happened ever since the fall of man, the soul, the mind, the will, the intellect has got up on the horse, and all the decisions are made there, and you wind up running your own life. Now, you will go to church. Now, Alan is the master of teaching on this. It's not that it's not religious. It is. It'll go to church. It'll worship God. It'll give money. It'll sing songs. It'll do good works. It'll feed the hungry. But it will not let go of the reins. As long as I can still lead my own life. See? And I'll be honest with you, that is a vast majority of the church is still right there. Okay? And sadly, for too much of my Christian life, I was right there. Really, that describes it to a large degree, Sue and I, the first 12 years. See, we didn't discover Dave Roberson until we'd already been saved and spirit-filled for 12 years. And we did a lot of things for the Lord. We were involved in prison ministry. We did Bible studies. We were involved in all kinds of things. And Sue's always been a giver. She loves to, you know, get clothes and give them to the poor and feed people. And we did a lot of things, and it was all okay. God blessed it. You know, you can't even give a cup of cold water in His name and lose your reward, you know. But still, most of that was generated out of our own minds. It's what we saw to do, and so we did it. But my brothers and sisters, one day, we began listening to a man named Dave Roberson saying, Jesus promised He would not leave you as orphans. He would not leave you to have to find your own way. He is going to send this Holy Spirit, that if you would allow the Holy Spirit to pray God's plan through your lips, that would authorize the Father to be able to answer that prayer. And no longer would you be in control, would your mind be in control of the reins of your life. Little by little, did you remember Nathan's example? That leadership grew in him like a tree. Now, you never heard a voice say, "Thou shalt move to Tulsa." But the more he prayed, the more he just knew that leadership grew like a tree. One time I heard him say it this way. He says, "It finally got so strong that for me not to move to Tulsa at that point, it was sin." Because he knew it that well. He knew that's what it was. See, you really cannot pray consistently in other tongues and not find God's will for your life. Now, I didn't say you'd automatically obey it, but you will find it. You will know it. Amen? Well, as that happens, and as you yield to it, that's really sort of the process. I'm going to show it a little differently in a minute, but that's the renewing of the mind. See, knowledge came, till finally it was crystal clear, move to Tulsa. That's not a renewed mind at that point. That's a mind that has knowledge. The renewed mind is when it bows the knee, climbs down off the horse, says, "Spirit man, you're in control. If that's the mind of the master that I moved to Tulsa, I bow. We're going to Tulsa." You see it? Now that's a renewed mind. It's when you yield to the mind of Christ. When you yield. Now it's not all. Now that's regarding specific leadership. But we're going to go a little differently here for a moment. Did I say go to Romans 12? Now to me, one of the most important words, I don't know if you underline in your Bible or not, but when it says in Romans 12:1, "I beseech you therefore," If I was you, I'd have underlined the word therefore. How did one minister say that? When you find the word therefore, you need to find what it is therefore. Notice Romans 12 is more near the end of the book of Romans than it is at the beginning. He has laid foundation upon foundation upon foundation leading up to what he's going to say. And what's important, Romans 12, in just a little bit here, is when he starts really talking about your ministry calling. And it's more than just the fivefold. I don't think anybody's really read it this week. So come on down to verse 5. No, verse 4. Yeah, this part was read. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. I think Alan read this. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. But now look at the rest of this. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Well, that's not one of the fivefold things, is it? Okay. How about our ministry? Let us wait on our ministry. He that teacheth on teaching. Do you know there is an office of a teacher? But did you know in Hebrews, the writers of Hebrews says, by this time you should all be teachers. You should all be teachers, see? He may have called you to teach a home group. He may have called you to teach, disciple some converts that you're going to lead, or somebody else may. We used to have this guy, and I mean, he was the epitome of what Alan talks about. He was the pure blood evangelist. John 3:16 is all you need. You don't need anything else. He would have died if you'd have forced him to have to teach those converts. All he was interested in was go get some more. He was a pure blood evangelist. There was no teaching, you know, just get him, you know, to him it was like get him out of the hellfire and we'll go get some more. And that's all he could see. And he was always trying to make an evangelist out of me. And I'm terrible at it. I can share my witness, but I've tried it. I have no anointing for that at all. It's just not who I am. And finally we started to understand, oh, you go get them saved, bring them in here, and I'll teach them. See? It's a body ministry. Well, you don't have to necessarily be a fivefold teacher. Here's a teacher. But the point I'm making, look, there's some more here too. He that teacheth on he that exhorteth on exhortation. How about he that giveth? There's a ministry of giving? Yeah, there is. He that ruleth with diligence. Excuse me. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. And that's not an exhaustive list. What Paul is doing here, he's saying there's individual parts, but it's only one body. There are many callings. God wants you to find your place. And he just lists a few here, but there's many others. But notice this discussion comes in chapter 12. And it's a therefore. Okay. Based on everything that I have said, in all the chapters, by the way, if you ever want to really get Romans, Dr. Jim Martin at his Bible college, which is online, which you can join, isn't it 120 messages? What is it? 107. Okay, I'm sorry. Only 107 messages on the book of Romans. And you thought you knew the book of Romans. 107 messages on the book of Romans. Now, the reason that's important, and now this is the ultimate summary. Sue calls me the master of synopsis. Let's look at an overall book of Romans. Romans chapter 1 is one of the scariest chapters in all of the Bible. And basically, it's talking about a people that at one time knew God. They had the knowledge of God. There's no excuse for them. But they did not want to retain God in their knowledge. They wanted to live their own alternate lifestyle. They wanted to live how they wanted to live. I don't know what else they said, but that's the ultimate thing. They chose, even though they had the knowledge of God, they chose to live in opposition to that knowledge. And God loved them and was trying to save them. But eventually, if you just are determined, and He's long-suffering and He'll keep coming after you, but eventually, if you want sin, you can have it. And it's one of the scariest verses to me in all the Bible. He gave them over to a reprobate mind. If that's what you want, I'm going to let you go. Now, what's a reprobate mind? Dave helped me on that. It said it's not that God wouldn't take you back. But when you get to the place where you have a reprobate mind, there's nothing in you that wants to come back. It's not okay to have the knowledge of God and choose perpetually to live in opposition, in violation of that knowledge, not when you know it. Romans chapter 2 introduces the new birth. As Nathan often points out, it talks about those. It says only those that really keep the law are going to be justified. But then in the next chapter, it says, well, nobody can keep the law. And it sounds like an impossible thing. And it is in the flesh to be able to keep the law. But Romans 2 introduces us to the Gentiles who had not the law, but they got born again. So now by nature, they do those things contained in the law. So God, they did the opposite, in other words, of Romans chapter 1. They allowed God to come on the inside of them and write His law in their minds and in their hearts. And they chose to follow Him through that new nature. Even though nobody ever told them, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not covet. They knew it on the inside. Now they had the knowledge of God, but they chose to follow that knowledge. He starts giving the examples of in Romans 3, 4. He starts talking about Abraham as the example of faith and how we're justified by faith and not by the works of the law. Right, it talks about righteousness being a free gift. I think I'm going to read that verse here in a little bit. And the grace that empowers you through righteousness to reign in this life by one, Jesus Christ. It starts talking about the power that's in you, see. Romans 6 lays it out like a lawyer. How that you have been made free from sin. With no uncertain terms. You have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine that was delivered unto you. And you have been made free from sin. Yes. Okay. Romans 7 talks about the poor guy who has the knowledge of God. Wants to serve God. But he has no nature to keep it. He says, I want to keep it. Anyone ever make New Year's resolutions? I want to keep it. Sooner or later, though, and then we're going to get to the righteous tree here in a minute. Sooner or later, the guy in Romans 7, he loves God, really, and he has the law. Now, the difference between him and the guy in Romans 1 wanted to keep sinning. The guy in Romans 7 wants to stop, but he doesn't have any power to do it. And he's the one crying out near the end of it. He says, who will deliver the things I want to do, I don't do, and the things I don't want to do? None of us in here can relate to that. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then we get into that glorious chapter of Romans 8. There it is, the dividing line between the guy in Romans 7 who loved God and wanted to keep the law but couldn't do it, and the guy in Romans 8 who's been born again. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. It's through the Spirit that you mortify the deeds of the body. And then He gives us the Holy Ghost, who He helps us with those infirmities when we don't even know. I love when Alan gives the example. It says, even when you've dealt with the stuff that's on the surface, like smoking and chewing and going with girls that are doing the smoking and the chewing. Anyway, you thought something else, but anyway. Even when you've dealt with the surface stuff, that's the 10% of the iceberg that's above the water. You don't even know. You can't even see the 80, 90%. You don't even know what's wrong with you. Guess who does? You don't even know how to pray. You don't know what's wrong with you. You don't know why you keep failing. Why do you keep going back to that? See? Holy Spirit knows. You allow Him to work, and boy, He'll start digging. bring that right up to the surface where even you can deal with it. Man. The Holy Spirit, He'll help you. And He knows the plan. And He'll make that intercession for you according to the will of God. You don't have to know it. You just have to know enough to pray. Just, dog low, was that the phrase? You just got to have dog low faith enough to pray. Let the Holy Spirit, I can't find God's plan. Sit right here. Are you filled with the Holy Ghost? Yes, I am. Can you pray in tongues? Yes, I can. Begin. But I don't know God's, begin. I don't know the plan of, begin. Shandala, that's it. No, but I don't know the, begin. Shandala baku, keep that up. Sandala braku, keep that up. If you'll keep it up, pretty soon you're going to have a bigger problem. Because at first you didn't know the plan. And you thought that was a problem. But after a while, you're going to, oh God, you're going to see the plan. You're going to know what, and then you're not going to believe what He wants me to do. And I go, yeah, I probably will. When he deals with me like that, it's always something I can't afford. You know, I go, God, have you seen my checkbook? And I think He usually says, have you seen mine? I like it when Alan would say, God, I hate this faith stuff. Just, can't you just give me one big donor? God says, I did. I beseech you, therefore, based on all of these things, see, you're not the guy in Romans 7. Therefore, you're not the person in Romans 1. You're at this conference not because you don't want to live for God. It's because you do want to live for God. You're in this conference because you're Romans 2. You have been born again. The law of God has been written in your heart. You're in this conference because of Romans 3, 4, and 5. Like Abraham, you have received the gift of righteousness. But it's more than what Abraham had. Abraham had accounted righteousness. Remember how he charged it to the master? Charge my righteousness to the cross. Honey, the cross has come. The cross has been accomplished. You don't have accounted righteousness. You have been given the free gift of righteousness. That new nature that He put in your core, you are a tree of righteousness. Mm, is that good stuff? See? Romans 6, you have been set free from sin. See, well, if you follow me around very long, you won't think that's true. Well, we don't judge based on what we see. I don't care what you do today. Well, that's a wrong story. No matter what you did today, you're still free from sin. Even if you sinned like crazy, it won't change the Word of God. If you're truly born again, you're free from sin. And if you're sinning, there's three reasons. Ignorance. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. See, you might have had that excuse before you came to this conference. It's too late for you already. You heard Nathan. Too late. And the others. Okay? Ignorance is one thing. A seared conscience. That's a real dangerous thing. Seared conscience. Third one is rebellion. It's the danger of Romans 1. You gotta be careful. Okay, we'll get to that part in a minute. Hallelujah. But see, all of that's important. Now, he takes a little interlude in 9, 10, and 11, talking really about the Jews. And there's a lot of things, good things there too. It's not, I mean, that applies to us too, but there's a lot of 9, 10, and 11 pretty much about the Jews. But then he comes back to the theme here in chapter 12. Based on everything that I have said to you, Romans 12. Now let's read the whole verse. That word beseech means, if you can picture Paul getting down on one knee with, I think, tears right in front of you. I beg you, based on everything God has done, based on the price that Jesus paid to set you free, I beg of you, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now notice, holy.
You got to understand, it's possible to live this life with a holy body. Did you hear that? Do you know that's so opposite to the doctrine I was taught growing up in church? They said you're just, I mean, they loved Jesus. They would preach the cross. But the end result of their teaching was you're still that same old sinner. Just forgiven now. That is not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. I like the translation that says he is a new species of being that did not exist before. And that is really the truth. It is possible to come to the place where you can live this life with a holy body presented daily to the Lord for his service. Holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Yes, sir. I'll say it like this. When I first got saved, I was really glad to get saved, by the way. One thing about Sue and I, we were not one of those that thought, oh, we're okay, we're not going to hell. We knew we were going to hell. We were sinners and really good at it. Y'all know I had a drug problem from the time I was four. Well, yeah. My parents drug me to church on Sunday morning. They drug me to church Sunday afternoon. Drug me to church on Wednesday. Now, Sue wasn't, see. She had almost no church history at all growing up. But we both wound up, whether church history or not, we both wound up being really, really good sinners. Lost. Knew it. Okay? When we got saved, I'm telling you, we were so glad to get saved. We've never looked back. We've never had a desire to go back into the world, back into the bars or anything like that. All right. But still yet, and I can't speak for her now, I'll speak for me. And I know it had to do with a lot of the things I was taught as a little boy in church. I had this image of Christians being forgiven, but being kind of mamby-pamby and being somewhat weak. And really not free from sin, but just Jesus loved me and I could sing all those songs about the blood. And I fell into that same defensive posture that most of the church has. It's like, okay, I survived the last attack of the devil. Whew. I better strengthen myself for the next attack of the devil. And it was like it went from one attack to the... I never had this mindset of Christianity being a war. I didn't have this mindset at all. See, I had this image like what God intended through the gospel was just come to forgive us and rescue us from hell, and we're to live the best we could until hopefully one day we made heaven. That is not at all what Jesus came. Well, it's part of it, all right. He came to make a new species of people that are free from sin, that can walk earth while hearing heaven, be anointed by the Holy Ghost to be going through this earth, kicking down every gate of hell and setting the captives free. Yes. Now that's the real image. The first 300 years of Christianity may have started with 120 people in an upper room, but in the first 300 years there were millions of Christians. And the more the devil tried to persecute them, the more it spread. It was an aggressive conquering. And I don't mean warfare like natural warfare, but I mean conquering humans, conquering people, making, instead of converting children of the devil over to children of the living God. That's really only two kinds of people on earth. You're born of the devil or you're born of God. I'm sorry about that. But that is the truth. You're of your father, the devil. You are from below. I am from above. And at that moment, he was the only one from above. You are just as much from above right now as he was. See, I didn't get all that many amens. That is the exact truth. I remember the first time I heard Dave say that, I love Pastor. I hardly ever want to say no. But the first time I heard him say, you know, we want to think Now, he was using Paul to begin with. We want to think that the Apostle Paul, when he got born again, that he received just a little bit more. Somehow he got more life or more righteousness or more something than what we got. And he would say, no, the same life. He had the same born-again experience that you had. His spirit went from death to life, from darkness to light, exactly like you. But then he took it a step. I mean, I wanted to run out the door at that. But then he said, did you know the same thing's true of Jesus? That life that quickened when he was in the bowels of hell suffering for us, and that life that quickened him from death to life, that's why he is called the first born from the dead. Not the first raised. He is the first born from the dead. And you got the same birth he got. Not something lesser. That's scary and wonderful. Because the potential is enormous. It's enormous, see? Hallelujah. Let's do a little review from... we got to finish verse 2. And then we're going to go into some of our visuals. Those visuals help, don't they? Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by becoming born again. What? What? Oh, by the renewing of your spirit. By the renewing of your mind. I hope before today's lesson is over, you're going to find out. It's up to you. Those messages, they're all blended in my mind. I don't remember who said it. But even this week, the greatest price that heaven paid was to keep your will intact. If God was ever going to slap anybody down, it would have been Adam on his way to the tree. Isn't that right? Heaven paid a terrible price in order to leave you with free. See, even the people in Romans 1, God would not violate their free will. They had the knowledge of God. Don't you know He wooed them and wooed them and wooed them? God is long-suffering. He loved them with a love that we can't even imagine. He kept holding, return, repent. I cry when I read, even in Isaiah, under the old covenant, he says, oh, backsliding Israel. I can just hear his heart. Oh, backsliding. Parents, when your children are out in the world and you're worried, all you want is for them to repent, come home. And God was like that. I know he was like that with those in Romans 1. He just kept holding out his hand. Holding out his hand, but he would not violate their free will. And finally, if that's what you want, if that's what you want, I will not violate your free will. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, let's go through the illustration. Because for the sake of time, I had you turn to these verses last time. I'll mention them, but I'll just read them this time, okay? Because we got to go beyond this. We're going to go what we did last time and then go some a little bit farther. So, recently I did a service called Trees of Righteousness. And I had to look it up. In fact, it was what I kept hearing while I was praying was Trees of Righteousness, the planting of the Lord. I knew both of those phrases were in the Bible. I didn't know if they were in the same verse or what, but they are. They're in the same verse. And it was in Isaiah 61. And I got to reading that. Well, dear Lord, that's the same thing in Luke 4 where Jesus starts. He stood up in Nazareth in the synagogue and he began reading, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. Now I call them the articles of war. I'm fixing to go set the captives free. Yet this day, this scripture is fulfilled. Hide and watch. As I set the captives free. Yeah, Messiah. Many men have read this before, but whenever they'd read it, Messiah's coming. He's saying, Messiah's here. Okay. So in Isaiah, the way it's worded in 61, he was reading from this passage. says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God." And I'm going to tell you again, the day of the vengeance he's talking about, once Jesus had overthrown the devil in the wilderness and got baptized in the Holy Ghost, he started going about and doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. God took vengeance on everything the devil had been doing to his people through the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's going to do the same thing through you. Bronk, I got to tell you this, when that day, and I agree with you, God at this moment does not want us running through the malls laying hands on everybody. And I don't know how to do this without mentioning a movie. You know, we're too holy to watch movies. Y'all know that. Now, how would I saw this through a Radio Shack window. See, I agree with what you're saying, but when you said that, you know what I saw? Now, he probably hasn't seen this movie. And I'm not recommending the movie. Dear Lord God, no. I don't know how I know about it. But it's called World War Z. World War Z. Don't laugh. People will know. Normally in zombie movies, World War Z stands for zombie. Normally in zombie movies, they're like me before coffee. You know, if you can't outrun a zombie, there's something wrong with you. Most zombie movies that you see, isn't that about it? Dude, I can outrun you, you know. World War Z was the only zombie movie I've ever seen. These zombies were fast. They ran like the Dickens. They were quick. And if they bit you on the count of 12, 1, 2, 3, the count of 12, you became a zombie. And you began running. Now, don't go rent the movie. I'm telling you enough. This is the only part you need to know. They were quick and they were fast. When you said that about, I don't want you running through the malls right now. Because there is an army coming from Joel that describes the devastation that the body of Christ is going to do on the devil's works. And it says they're going to be like locusts. They're going to be fast. They're not going to break rank. They're going to be everywhere. They're going to run through the malls. They're going to be setting the captives free. And it's going to be more like World War J for Jesus. Now, we're in the early training stages. We're in the early training stages right now. But I believe that if we're going to have that end time harvest, I believe the day will come, we'll run through the malls and set every captive free, and the people will see what's going on. What is happening? His name is Jesus, and you need to get saved. That Joel's army, Peter referred to it on the day of Pentecost. This is that which was prophesied by the prophet Joel. Now, the world has never seen that army yet, but he's going to see it. And you talk about revival. I believe it's going to be just like that. From the devil's point of view, it's going to be like locusts coming to devour his fields. Everything that he's done, the sickness, the blindness, the birth defects, every damnable thing you can think of, here comes the army of God. And when we leave, it's going to be like a fruitful field. Be back like the Garden of Eden again. That was free. There's no additional charge for that. These are the articles of war. That's why I read it like that. Now, every time I read it now, these are the articles of war. The day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all them that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, see, for oil of joy, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And here's that phrase that I kept hearing. That they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. Amen? You are the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. Now, I got to give you this part. Now, you don't need to turn there. You got to understand righteousness is a free gift. Nobody ever yet earned righteousness. Righteousness is a free gift. And I'm talking about more than accounted righteousness. This is where God literally becomes your righteousness. He does that by putting His nature in you. So let me just read this. You don't have to turn to it. Romans 5:17-19. For if by one man's offense, death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness. Now get this. What happens if I receive that gift of righteousness? You shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. The days of the devil ruling you are over. God has made us kings and priests. If He is the King of kings, you are the kings. Isn't that right? There's no such thing as a king without dominion. Our job is to bring the dominion of the King to this planet. That's what the prayer means. Father, Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on planet earth, even as it is in heaven. Isn't that right? Well, we're the under kings. We're the kings that He is the King of. And you have a dominion. They shall reign in life by one. It doesn't say they'll reign in heaven. This is not till you get to heaven. You reign in life now by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so the righteousness of one, the free gift, came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made right. Now, many shall be made righteous, not accounted righteous. This is something Abraham did not have. Abraham amazes me how he did not have a born-again spirit, yet he obeyed God. But he was never made righteous. He was accounted righteous. You have been made righteous. And I'm going to say it again. The same way that Jesus was made to be sin, He literally became the serpent, like in Pharaoh's court when they threw down that staff. Why would you throw down something wooden? Represents the cross. They threw down that wooden staff that's on the cross. Jesus, He literally became sin. He wasn't just accounted sin. His spirit went from... This is the part that made Him sweat great drops of blood in the garden. I don't think He was afraid. He didn't want to become sin. He did not want to be separated from His Father. But for He tasted death. And I mean spiritual death. For every man. He literally was made sin. But like in Pharaoh's court, He swallowed up all of that sin into Himself. But when God spoke to him and he was birthed, he went from being made sin to being made righteous. And the day you received Him as your Savior, you went from being made sin by Adam to being made righteous by the last Adam. You are made righteous. You are a good tree. That's what it means, the planting of the Lord. Trees of righteousness. That's what it means. You are a good tree. Hallelujah. I'm going to read you this one little part out of my letter. Jesus gave this illustration of the fruit trees. I'm going to read it to you here. Let's see. Matthew 7:15-20. You don't need to turn there. Excuse me. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Now get this. It's like Jane see the ball. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. This illustration is so simple. He's just saying a good tree produces good fruit. A bad tree produces bad fruit. While meditating this passage one day, the Holy Spirit said this to me. And I'm going to say this slow enough where you can write it down. This is important. The only way... Now take any tree that's already existing. Already existing. The only way for the fruit to change is for the tree itself to change. It must become a different kind of tree. Isn't that right? An apple tree produces apples. And it's always going to produce apples. Unless there was some miraculous way that somehow you could make it into a pear tree. Now, my dad used to like to graft trees. He had a tree one time that was producing pears, peaches, and apples all at the same time. But you could never get those to last very long. Maybe one season, two at the most, and they would die because it's not natural. It wouldn't continue. But he loved messing with them, you know. But this is a little different. That's only grafted in. It still doesn't change the core of the tree, see. What we're talking about, and we'll say it again in case you didn't get it written down. The only way for the fruit to change is for the tree itself to change. It must become a different kind of tree. That is exactly what happens when a person is genuinely born again. Their nature changes from one of sin and death, passed down from the first man, Adam, to the nature of love and righteousness imparted by the last Adam, Jesus Christ. A truly born again person becomes a different kind of tree at the core of their being. Their very nature is changed. I like to say, I don't have it written this way, but the sap is a different sap coming from a different source. You got that? It's not the law of sin and death anymore. It's the law of the Spirit of life. You got that? It says, it does not mean that they won't be tempted to sin because they're still living in fallen flesh that has the motions of sin working in its members. But they have a new nature at their core. They are new creatures, and the fruit of their lives will change. The fruit of righteousness from their new nature will change their path from being broad like the world to being narrow, which is the way of righteousness. Now, I brought my fruit with me again today. I think this illustration helps. Give me just a moment. So, you could put a lot of, these are just various kinds. Before I got born again, I had the law of sin and death working on the inside of me like anybody else. 1 Corinthians 2 calls it the spirit of the world. It's the one passed down to us from Adam. You didn't have a choice. Sorry, you were born already ruined. As Bob Dylan put in his song. Born already ruined, stone cold dead as you stepped out of the womb. That's true. Okay. All right. Now, so I was a corrupt tree. We were all born corrupt trees. And as that tree matured, I was 33 by the time that I was really born again. And so I was producing corrupt fruit because I'm a corrupt tree. So I took some paper and I put just some. I could put a lot more on here. Here's smoking, okay, dirty jokes. How about plain old cussing? You might swear in England, but here we cuss. You know. And then I've got, the love of money. That was a big one hanging off. I had a lot of fruit of the love of money. Alcohol was a big one in Gary's personal life. And porn. If Nathan admitted, I'll admit it. I didn't always look like this. Okay, I was a young man at one time. I was proud of my Playboy collection. Before I got saved, I'd have showed it off to you if you wanted to see it. I bought the little plastic covers to keep them in pristine condition. Dead tree. So that's just a few. We could go to Galatians 5, and there's a whole list there, and it's not exhaustive either. Amen? It said, in such like. So you could put Just pick your fruit. You can put gluttony on here. You can put gossip on here. You can put envy and hatred and jealousy and envy. I don't know what all. Let's go with these. Here's Gary. I bowed the knee on the 4th of July, 1980, in the living room of our house. And I said, Lord, if you'll take me back, you'll never have to come find me again. I knew him as a little boy, but I'd gotten so far away. I said, Lord, if you'll take me back, you'll never have to come looking for me again. And I didn't feel anything. I would like to it. I hear testimonies all this time about how wonderful it is. I didn't feel nothing. In fact, the devil, I wrestled with the thoughts of the devil for 3 days. He kept telling me, it's too late for you. It didn't work for you. You've sinned too much. He didn't take you back. You didn't feel nothing. You're still the same. In fact, you've got a headache. And I did. You know, well, he's right about that. But thank God, Michael Muccio, who had really brought us back to the Lord, he told me what faith was. Faith believes God's word, no matter how you feel. So I just kept spouting back Romans 10, 9 and 10. If I believe, it says right here. I'd read it to him out loud. It says right here. If you believe in your heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and if you confess with the mouth that he is your Lord, thou shalt be saved. I'd read him another one. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And verses like that. And back and forth it went for 3 days. Finally, it was the third morning, I woke up. The grass was greener. The sky was bluer. Some rivers in America are really pretty. The Arkansas is not one of them. I remember that morning driving across the Arkansas River thinking, that's got to be the prettiest river on earth. Now, you got to be saved to think that, but anyway. But see, I still had all this corrupt fruit on my tree. Now, the tree, remember what it says? The only way for the fruit to change, the tree itself has to change. Suddenly, there's righteousness. I am the planting of the Lord. I am a tree of righteousness. And righteousness began pushing up out of me like sap in a tree. And it started finding all of this horrible fruit on my limbs. And nobody was preaching to me. We weren't even going to church yet. There was a new sheriff in town. There was preaching from the inside out. Let's take the first one. I think the first one was porn. And it just from the inside out, I'm going, this porn has to go. Now, here's an unrenewed mind. That spirit on the inside, porn has to go. Life, righteousness is pushing out. Porn has to go. And just like Nathan, for me to say that wasn't the Lord would be sin. I knew that it was him. Now, here's an unrenewed mind. I remember arguing with that thought. Do you know how much money I have invested? Do you know how many years I've been doing this collection? I mean, it was pretty vast. And I didn't even obey it the first day. But it wouldn't leave me alone. That sap kept pushing, that righteousness kept pushing and pushing. And it wasn't just a day or two, a few days. We sacked them all up and the porn it left the house. And bad fruit. Did you ever hear of mortification? See, this has helped you understand why in Romans 8, how Dave belabored with us. Big S and little s. See, I wasn't even baptized in the Holy Ghost yet. It's through the Spirit, little s, new nature, the righteousness that comes by that new nature that you mortify, the deeds of the body. Now, the Holy Spirit has been to help you, but He does not mortify you. It is your spirit and your mind yield. Yes, sir. That's the part I left out. Excuse me. Let's just deal with porn. See how quiet it got? Nobody. I've read different studies. They say today, I've read different ones that say 60 to 80% of Christian men are addicted to porn. That's sad. That's scary. But I know what addiction is. I have been addicted to alcohol. I have been addicted to nicotine. And to somewhat, I guess, addicted to porn in the early days, you know. Now, porn in my day was different than what they... It's so much worse now. Anyway, we won't get into that. Let's just take porn. Now, here's the difference between a mind that has knowledge and a renewed mind. From the new nature, righteousness, comes the knowledge. Porn is sin. You are righteousness. You are a child of God. This porn has to be lopped off. It has to go. At that moment, my mind, even my natural mind, has that knowledge. Did you know it says, the Bible says, knowledge puffs up? There's a lot of people in the body of Christ puffed up with knowledge, but they have not yet yielded their mind to the Lord Jesus Christ. As long as my mind is standing there arguing with, porn has to go, I can't say my mind doesn't have knowledge, but it's not yet renewed. And if I continue in that state, what's going to happen? I'm going to stay conformed to the world, aren't I? I'm going to stay conformed to the world. Even though I have the knowledge, I did that with, let's take another one. I did that with cigarettes for years. Dave would kill me one week, raise me from the dead the next. Come in, sitting where we always sit. By the way, we sit there for a reason. Dave says, I want to be able to find you if I need you. I want you right there. So that's why we sit where we do. But anyway, we didn't know hardly anything. We'd come in here, you know. You know the thing about Dave? He delivered phenomenal truth. I've never known anyone that would open revelation knowledge like Dave. But he would do it in such love. He could really just skewer you. But he did it with such love, you didn't even know when it happened. And you're thinking about the message, you know, you hear on Sunday. And boy, wasn't that great? Yeah, that was great. And you're thinking about that message. And about Tuesday, you go, hey. He was getting on to us. If you've noticed, my teaching's not quite that way. But I did the same thing with it. He'd come in on, he'd say, are you going to let a little 3-inch, little rolled up paper of grass? I used to say weed, but Angie says they'll think you've been doing pot. And I wasn't doing pot, but anyway. Grass, a little 3-inch rolled up paper of grass. Are you going to let it control your life? And I'm sitting there thinking, yeah. And it's not that I didn't love God. I did love God. I knew it. See, it's not the cigarette itself. It's the addiction. It's the addiction. That's an idol. It's an idol. It's got you bound down to it. See? And he'd kill me with that. Are you going to let it run your life? Yeah, I guess I am. And I had knowledge. I had knowledge, yes, sir. And he may that very day have taught out of Romans 6, probably did, you've been made free from sin. And I would amen him. Yeah. Knowledge. See the difference? I read it right there. Shall we continue in sin? Read on, Dave. I'd amen the message. Couldn't wait to get out of here and get a smoke. You know? Light up. The reason he always talks about the water tower over there, the only reason it was the water tower, once I went over that hill, you couldn't see me anymore. You know? That's where it's safe to light up right there if nobody's behind me. Y'all just don't know. Anyway. That is a mind that has knowledge. Not only did I know that but see, my mind, yes, sir, my mind was still on the horse. Do you get it? The servant was making the decision. Even though the spirit man is in total unity with God, going, you're free, boy. You're free. You're a tree of righteousness. Clip this thing off. You don't need to be bound to no 3-inch weed. Grass. I guess either one is still marijuana, isn't it? They got, anyway. It was just cigarettes, okay? He'd resurrect me the next. Feel like a sheep-eating dog all week. The very next week, he'd come in and say, God will walk through hell with a man with his faults as long as he's continuing to do those things. And he meant like praying, meditating, confessing, worship, all of the things that's taught here. As long as he continues to do those things, that will one day spell out his freedom. And I go, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. But I lived, if I would have known then what I know now, I would have been free a lot sooner than I was. See, because here's what happens, and I hope I can, I don't really have any good way of illustrating this. It's the same with porn. I'll tell you, it's the same with alcohol. It's the same with whatever sin you might be involved with. You're free. You're free, and you were free from the day you got born again. And you're never going to be more free. You're already free. I know that hurts. I didn't like it either. I'd amen him, but I didn't like it. But see, as long as you have that knowledge, but you don't act on it, that's not a renewed mind. A renewed mind goes to the Word of God, and where it says, you have been made free from sin, the renewed mind bows the knee. Yes, sir. I'm getting down off the horse. I'm putting the Spirit in control. Now, at that moment, really is when your war begins. If there's any kind of withdrawals. With some people, if God told them to stop watching, I don't even know what they're called anymore. Days of Our Lives, soap operas, whatever. They'd have a worse addiction problem than I had with the cigarettes. Or if God says, I remember one time he took me off. I used to be a newspaper hound. This is before we had internet and all of that. Man, if I didn't read the newspaper, and he took me on a newspaper fast. 40 days, no newspaper. Thought I was going to die. Hardly ever read one since all the way through. You know, put me on a meat fast. Now, this is really tough. Put me on a meat fast. Do y'all want to know what I mean? No meat. 40 days. 40 days. I survived. Sue, bless her heart, was doing everything. She'd try and cook things that were really good for me, you know, and try had a lot of taste. And I got a good wife. She was trying to help me, you know, but, you know, there's no chicken, there's no beef, there's no nothing, you know. I come off of that, though. See, something started happening to my taste buds. And one day out of the blue, I said, Sue, would you fix me one of those broccoli casseroles? She went, who are you and what did you do with my husband? You know, that can't be Gary. That cannot be Gary. See? The moment your mind becomes renewed, that's the moment you begin resisting sin. And sometimes there's an addiction, sometimes there's not. Many times there is. And God is all happy about you being miserable while you fight. He is. He's proud of you too. I read those verses. I don't know if I could find them again that quick here, but he that has suffered in the flesh is free from sin. How about resist the devil? If you're addicted to porn, resist. I hate to even say if you're addicted. There is no such thing as a child of God being addicted to porn. Now, not really. That is fruit from the old tree still hanging on that needs to be lopped off by you renewing your mind, bowing the knee and saying, I am a child of God. I'll never watch it again another day of my life. And I'll tell you this, you can starve the desires out. When I was going through nicotine withdrawals, and they were bad. There's people in here probably got off heroin and stuff. And you say, well, cigarettes, big deal. It was hard for me. I don't care what you say. And it lasted a long time. Those people that say you're free in 7 days were never addicted to nothing. I'm telling you. 21 days, too. It seemed like it went on forever. But see, now it's been years and years and years and years. My body, I thought it was going to kill me if I didn't give it nicotine. And it was telling me it was going to kill me. See, now you're going to be like that with porn. If you've been addicted to it and you cut it off, I read another article. I never know what he's going to have me exactly. But I read another article one time about what it is in men that really makes them susceptible to be addicted to that. Even, okay, we've got children in the room. Even if you don't do anything manually to cause a release of endorphins. How was that? Is that pretty good? Even if you don't do anything, and be the same for women. I never have talked to a woman about porn yet, and I don't intend to. So, okay, but I can talk about men, okay? Even if you don't do anything to stimulate that, just the looking releases, there's chemicals in the brain that is something that you get addicted to. And then you want that again. It's not really that you want to go cheat on your spouse. You want that feeling. It's like, you know, every sin almost is like, there's something from the nicotine that you train your body, then it wants it. And it wants it again. Same thing with marijuana, same thing with heroin, same. There's something there that you want again. And there's a fight. But let me tell you from experience, it has been so long now. I have not wanted a cigarette in years and years and years. I have not wanted a drink of, I haven't had a drink of alcohol since 1980. And there's, now sometimes when they lose a really important football game, sometimes we might be tempted for a moment, but not really, not really. There's nothing in me that wants it. The flesh can be, I'm seeing it now, the flesh can literally be presented holy before the Lord. It can be purged of every addiction, but it starts with a renewed mind. And the mind is not renewed until it bows the knee to knowledge. Knowledge is not enough. I like to say it like this, where it talks about, be you transformed by the renewing of the mind. That's, and I never say it correctly, and forgive me, but it's the Greek word metamorpho. It's where we get metamorphosis. And most of us, when we think of that, we think about a caterpillar. And then caterpillars are kind of ugly. They're on the ground. They got all these legs. They crawl along creepy-like, you know, don't want to get it on your arm or anything. But they go into this cocoon, and there's a metamorpho. There's a complete transformation. And when they come out, they're beautiful. They're butterflies. They have these beautiful colors, and they can fly. I think in the churches, what we have is a lot of educated caterpillars that's never really bowed the knee to the leadership that's coming from that righteous nature that allows the transformation to be not conformed to this world. It begins with that single decision, that will that's been talked about. And the Holy Ghost, if you don't get anything else, get this. The Holy Ghost is your helper. He will never make that decision for you. It is up to you whether you're going to bow the knee or not. It is up to you. Now, the moment you do that, the war is on, buddy. And God's real happy about that. And He's in your corner. And it may be a struggle. Now, He can deliver you with no addictions at all, with no withdrawals at all. I've had that happen too. Okay? But if there's withdrawals, don't quit. And if you do, if you fail, get back up again and do it again. There's a Bronx message. They were exactly obeying God. It never says one thing like AI. Like, how come it didn't? We went and fought and we got beat. Down to the ground. That's in there for a reason. It wasn't just a slap. They got beat down to the ground. Said, God, what? And there's never any rebuke like you're sinning. There's never anything like that. He's like, shall we go up again? Go up again. And they get beat down to the ground again. Well, what's that like? Well, I quit that cigarette stuff. And I did real good for 2 hours. 2 days, 2 weeks. I did it again. I'm just a failure. I'm a slime. I'm a worm. No, you are a tree of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. Go up and ask Him again. Do you want me to try it again? He's going to say, go after it. Now, do you want me to go to war again? Not try again. Do you want me to go to war again? Go to war again. And even if you get beat down to the ground the second time, you go in quiet. Should I go again? He's going to say, go again. The day will come. You're going to take Goliath's head off. Now, there's Richard. You're going to take Goliath's head off. feed it to the fowls of the air. And you are done with that one forever. Y'all getting anything out of this? Now see, that's the difference between a renewed mind and a mind full of knowledge. The church, Dave used to have, I have to follow the Lord on these things. I just saw the popsicle person. Do y'all remember Dave talking about popsicle Christians? No, I'm sorry. Lollipop Christians, thank you. Lollipop, yeah, I knew that wasn't right. Lollipop, do y'all remember the M&M lollipops? It's got this little tiny stick and a big sphere. And it's hard candy. But when you go down there through enough, you finally get to the Tootsie Roll. And am I saying it right now? Tootsie Roll. Tootsie Roll Pops, thank you. Y'all can tell I haven't had them in a while. He says Christians are like that. He says they got this little, that little stick, that's their spirit. Hasn't been developed. They haven't gone to war. They haven't been in the gym. They haven't been working out. They haven't been confessing. They haven't been praying. But boy, do they have knowledge. And they got this big old fat head. And it said, with most of them, it's still gooey in the center. Nobody can teach like Dave. And they want to go to another, and seminars are good. You know what? I want to go to another seminar. And I want to go to another seminar. I want to listen to all those messages. Those Jim Martin messages, I can't wait till they come, you know. I'm going to hear another one. I'm going to hear another one. Yeah, but did you repent? No, I'm going to hear another one. Yeah, but did you repent? No, but I'm going to hear another one. Lollipop, lollipop, lollipop. God's not raising up no lollipop army. He is raising up a fierce army from the devil's perspective. I'm telling you, it is time. I am so not happy about Christians waking up in the morning with an attitude of, oh God, what's the devil going to do to me today? I am so tired of that. What needs to happen? We raise up these warriors and champions, and where when you wake up in the morning, every devil in your region goes, oh no, the Christians are awake again. How many are going to be healed today? How many are going to be saved today? How many blind eyes are going to open? Oh, the Christians are awake again. They're like an army of locusts come to destroy all the works of darkness. And I believe the day come we will run through them all. We'll run through. We're going to be like that army of J. World War J. Jesus. Revival. Amen. But it begins with a single decision you make. Now, I'm not looking at anybody on purpose. In fact, close your eyes just for a moment. Yes, sir. Now, with each and every person in here, there is something, most likely, that the Holy Spirit, well, through the power of the Holy Spirit, there is knowledge in you right now that something needs to change. It could be a repentance from a sin. It could be a forgiveness that you need to finally forgive. It could be a habit that you know the Lord's been dealing with you about, dropping that habit off. Give you a moment to think. Now let's pray a prayer like this. I think this is safe. Say, Lord, I hear what you're saying. With all that's in me, I repent. You are right. And I am wrong. You say I'm free. And today I say I'm free. Father, I will resist the devil, my flesh. I will resist from this day forward. I am in training now in your army. Raise me up. Put me in the body. Train me to be the vessel I should be. And equip me for what you've called me to do. I am free from sin. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, it's too early to let you go yet. I want to give you a few more things that he gave me today, since we have lots of time. Yes, sir. Lord, I normally come and don't preach with any notes. But go to Colossians chapter 3. A few truths that you need to take with you from this service too. Now the first one I had on here was Romans 8:13 that we've already talked about, where it says it's through the Spirit, little s, that you mortify the deeds of the body. Do you see that clearly now? Why Dave said to us, it's not the Holy Spirit that meant it. Dave would say it like this: if the Holy Spirit is the one that sets you free from sin, he would have set all the Old Testament saints free from sin. It's not the Holy Spirit. It is that righteous new nature, the little s spirit, that you received from God the day you got born again. Can you see that from the analogy of the tree? The righteousness is coming out of your spirit. Got that? Well, here's another one. Colossians chapter 3. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Now get this. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Now get this. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Who's to mortify it? That's why he gave you the free gift of righteousness. It is his strength in you. It is the life of Christ in you. The guy in Romans 7 kept trying to quit and couldn't quit. He didn't have the power to do it. You have the power. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Gee, I wish I knew what he meant by that. Fornication. Alan tells me that in the younger generation, there's such a thing as Christian fornication is very common. Dear Lord, help us. The Bible says, let it not be once, not once named among you. Now, if you're involved in it, stop it today. That is a renewed mind. Make the decision today. You're never going to be more free than you are right now. Okay? Stop it. What do you mean by that? Stop it. Uncleanness? Wouldn't that be pornography? Dirty jokes, certain movies. Nowadays, PG-13 isn't safe. Sometimes G, got to be careful. Inordinate affection. I'm not going to. How about evil concupiscence? Well, whatever that is, I don't want that. That's got to be a bad one right there, I'm telling you. No one, none of that. That's a black mucus and the creeping crud. And evil concupiscence. They're all bad. Now get this one, though. I know what this one is. And covetous. What have I said? Greed. Which is idolatry. You know what greed is? It's the worship of yourself. It is. It's the worship of yourself. That's why you're your own idol. Yeah. And it says you have to mortify that. Now, the reason I'm bringing it up now, how in the world would I mortify that? We already can. Because God is your righteousness. He put righteousness on the inside of you. The nature on the inside of you is not greedy. It's giving. It's giving. Now the Holy Spirit will help you. As you pray and spend time with the Holy Spirit, if greed is a problem, remember the time he had me give my pickup to my worst enemy? He'll put you out on the training field. I had a lot of identity wrapped up in my pickups. Who knows? I always had a pickup, you know. He wanted me, and he told me to. He says, "I want you to wash it. I want you to wash it and wax it, fill it up with gas." How many of you has anyone not heard that story? Has everyone heard that? You haven't heard it? Dude, I had this guy that didn't like me at all, and I mean at all, not even a little bit, and. And one day I'm just praying, like Dave says. One day I met Pastor Dave, and he says, "If you pray in tongues, your life will change." Boy, you got that right. And I'm praying in tongues, and the Holy Ghost, just as clear as day, says, "I want you to give your pickup to that guy. I want you to wash it and wax it and fill it up with gas and give it to him." I only had one pickup, but I actually said, "What pickup?" Because he couldn't be talking about mine. He just couldn't be talking about mine. I mean, there's no such thing as Gary Carpenter without a pickup. But it wouldn't leave me alone. It's just like Nathan talking about the move to Tulsa. Move to Tulsa. It wouldn't leave me alone. Once it came, I give my pickup to that guy. You know what he's been saying about me, that guy? You know what the damage he's been doing to my family? That guy? I want you to wash it, wax it, give it to that guy. In those days, we had a Mr. Clean down here on Peoria. That was my work truck, so it needed cleaning, okay? But I thought, okay, I'll just take it over here to Mr. Clean. And because there, you know, you get to go out and have, you sit inside and have coffee while they take the floor mats out and they clean it and wipe it all down and they wash the windows and everything and, you know, pay them some money. And when it comes out the other end, you're good to go. It looks real nice. Now, that day, they happened to be really busy. The line was clear out to the road. I barely could get off the street. I'm in line. And what's amazing, he could have said this to me then. He let me sit in that line. We're pulling up. Had to be 15, 20 minutes. Finally, I'm the next one. I'm the next one for them to start talking to about doing this. And I hear him say, "No." He said, "No, I said for you to wash it. I said for you to wax it. I said for you to fill it up with gas and give it to him." What? Lord, I don't even do that for my own car. I come here. Pulled out of the line. Go to the house. Bless my... I got a good wife. I tell her what's going on. Here she comes with buckets and mops and sponges. And man, for like hours are out there. That pickup never looked so good. Go fill it up with gas. Find out where the guy is. Take it down there to him. Now, you see, what we want is when we obey God, we want all the circumstances to change. We want, how does Dave say that? Like one of those old type sardine cans where you put in the little metal key and you roll it back. We want the sky to just unfold and liquid glory to pour down like sunshine. Feel the brush of an angel's wing across your cheek and maybe hear Gabriel's trumpet right off in the distance there. I wanted him to say something like, "You're a good guy. I was wrong this whole time." You know, that's what we want. I walked up to him and handed him the signed title and the keys. He threw them on the ground and says, "I don't want your old pickup anyway." Sue had followed me down there in the car. "Well, I don't have a choice. It's yours anyhow. You can do with it what you want, and we're gone." And I'd like to say I drove off, you know, rode off speaking in tongues. I was speaking. Now, this was early on. We didn't know very much in those days. See, looking back on it now, after a lifetime, that fella got in real trouble, and he wound up going home to be with the Lord just a few years after that. God was doing I look back at it now, and I see that God was doing everything he could trying to rescue that guy. That's why he brought him here. That's why many of you are connected here. He's rescuing us all. Amen? But God was doing everything he could trying to rescue that guy. And boy, I am, even though it doesn't look like my part worked or had anything, I'm just so glad that I obeyed the Lord. Amen. Man, I'd feel terrible if, you know, if if that same thing would have happened and I hadn't obeyed God, I would always wonder, what if I would have obeyed Him, see? So it's just better to obey God. Dear Lord, we're... Okay. So can you see this? Look at verse 5 again. Mortify. If that means you have to do it. The Holy Ghost is never going to renew your mind for you. You have to make that decision. You're the one that has to step, put your foot in the stirrup of that saddle and get down off of the horse. I bow the knee. Your word says I'm free. I am free. I'll never touch this sin again. And boy, the war's on right there. If you persist, you'll win it. If you get beat down to the ground the first time, go back and fight again. If you get beat down to the ground the second time, go back and fight again. But if you'll continue to resist, the day will come, you'll walk free. And you'll be free the rest of your life. You're already free, but you'll walk free. See, there's a difference between being free and walking free. That's what Galatians 5 is really saying. If you live in the Spirit, see, a lot of us are like that. We live in the Spirit, but they're kind of walking in the flesh. He says, no, if you live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. Line the walk up with the talk. Okay. All right, let's look at another one. Go to Philippians 4:8. And you ought to write this down. Let me read it first, and then we'll write it down. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, now notice, think on these things. Now here's what I want you to write down. You can control your thoughts. And that comes to pornography too. I'm telling you right now, whenever those images, maybe you're not looking at it yet, but those images start. Remember I told you the other day, I'm 70 now, but remember that little deck of cards that I saw when I was in the first grade? Maybe not everybody was here. But they'd thrown them away to be burned, but a lot of them didn't make it into the trash can. I'm just a little kid in the first grade. I'm out there picking up this deck of cards, and there's a pornographic image on each and every one of them. I didn't even know what they were doing. I was so young. What are they doing? I didn't even know what it was. I'm 70 now, and I can still, if I want to, image by image, pull those cards up in my mind. Be careful what you feed into your mind. Okay? But see, I have to choose not to think on them. And I can. And it's the same thing with, here comes that, maybe you've been addicted to porn a long time. You've decided to, now I'm talking internet porn now. You decided to quit. I'm not going to do it anymore. And boy, then it comes again that whatever chemicals those are that feed the brain when you do that, the brain wants it again because you've trained it to be addicted to it. And it wants to look again. You can choose your own thoughts. I double dog dare you to get your Bible out and start reading it. Double dog dare you to say it out loud as you read it. You're going to find out that Bible has more power than that porn. You choose what you think on. Otherwise, it'd be sin for Paul to write this. When he says think on these things, it means you do have the power to think on these things. Start thinking about what's pure and lovely. Well, I can't think of anything more pure and lovely than the Word of God. You get in there, start reading the Word of God. I love reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Acts. To me, is more like a movie because there's action involved. And I see the characters, you know, moving. And that's what I'd like to get in there. And pretty soon, I'm in the movie, man. You know? And let that become life to you instead of porn. Okay. Hallelujah. Go to Numbers 33:55. Numbers 33. Well, I didn't have these marked. Numbers 33. Now, this is an instruction that when they go in to possess the land, they're supposed to kill all the ites. Y'all remember that? All the Canaanites and the Hittites, the termites, all the ites, as they say, you know. But there's a warning here if you don't. But if you will not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those which you let remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides and shall vex you and in the land wherein you dwell. And if you do it long enough, see, we don't like to read the next verse. Moreover, it shall come to pass that I shall do unto you as I thought to do unto them. There's your reprobate mind again. It's your choice. Now, to illustrate this, I have to give you a vision that I had quite a few years ago. It's still, the more I'm in this, the more I see how important this one is. In this vision, I had crossed over, there was no army with me, it was just Gary, and I came up to my Jericho. Do you know you have a Jericho? You have strongholds? I came up to Jericho. And you know how the story goes, you know, you walk around it seven times and you blow the trumpets and the walls fall. Well, in my vision, it wasn't quite like that. But I'd come up to this fortified fortress, and you can't see in there. There's no windows. It's all fortified. But see, that structure is occupying land that is part of my promised land. That's land that I'm supposed to be enjoying. But the enemy has got a stronghold there. And so what we do is we pray and we pray in this vision. I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And all of a sudden one day, the walls just disappeared. And I could see inside the fortress. And what I saw was like, it reminded me of like a medieval times, the way they were dressed and everything. And they were just going about their daily lives. I mean, this one guy, he had a table and a big old knife thing, and he was cutting up fish. You know, one lady was, you know, had her baby, and she was just walking across the courtyard, and people were just going about doing their daily stuff. But that lady that had that baby, suddenly she looked my direction, and she looked again, and she looked again. Her eyes just locked on mine, and she screamed, "He can see us! He can see us!" See, all of a sudden, what was in that stronghold was exposed. They all ran for their swords and their anything they could fight with because they expected me to go to war and kill every single one of them. That's what they expected to happen, and that's what was supposed to happen. I was supposed to take my sword and drive every ite out of my promised land. Everything that's of the flesh, every bad fruit, if you'll allow me, everything, I am supposed to put it to death. But you know what I did in that vision? I just stood there and said, "Oh, that's interesting. Wow, I never knew it was like that. Wonder what's happening over at AI. And I left Jericho, and I left it intact, inhabiting my land. Now, if you do that, it won't stay small. He says that thing will become pricks and thorns. I can't imagine a thorn or something sticking you right in the eye. It's going to make your life hell. And if you're not careful, it can drag you all the way to hell." Amen. See, again, you got to be careful what you let your eyes see. Better to enter maimed than enter into hell with your whole body. Better be careful. So what I'm saying there, whenever the Holy Spirit reveals something to you, maybe you've been failing in a certain area forever, but all of a sudden it's a, yes sir. I don't know if I can quote this exactly, but it's close enough. In one of the face-to-face documents, he says this: "I am the Spirit of truth. I only bring truth. I have no other commodities on the shelf to bring. I only bring truth." And he said something to this effect. He said, "There is a period of time of learning where you sit in the chair and I explain truth to you about any given subject. And you're not really accountable during that time. But he says there does come a day when truth on that subject has been fully revealed unto you. At that point, I have nothing else to bring. And you are accountable for whether you act on that truth or not. That is the difference between a mind with knowledge and a renewed mind that will bow the knee. Did you get that? Don't leave. When there's a stronghold, and you say, I'm not strong enough. Yes, you are. But even if you feel like you're not, I have a verse for you. It's in the first chapter of the book of Jude. Okay, just checking. It's getting late. I'll make sure nobody's asleep. But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. He builds you up and builds you up. Now, you're never more free, but there is a building up. I have found that out. He'll strengthen you. You go to war against that thing and you will win. Don't leave Jericho's undefeated in your life. When you know the truth, obey the truth. Then we come to the prickly kidney. See, this is where I thought this was going to be at this point. We're all prickly kidneys. Quit. See, if I just, you remember the prickly kidneys? They're looking at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. It's a body ministry. You might be a kidney in the body. I'm really glad my kidneys are working. I'm glad also you can't see them. But I'm really glad they're working. But in this little vision, people are always coming here and are trying to get Dave to promote them. Alan loves to tell those stories at the Bible college. I'm called to preach, not mop the floor. But see, they're a prickly kidney. They got spines everywhere. If you just touch them anywhere, you're going to get hurt. Or they might be so fragile, if you just say anything, they're broken. You know, either way. But if you can picture a kidney that's got like porcupine spines all over it, and it's going, you got it in your hand, and it's going, where do you want me? Put me in the body. And that thing's all covered with spines. And so what you need to do is epoxy yourself in this chair. And let's pray in the Holy Ghost a while and see if we can't get some of the pricklies off and see if we can't thicken up that glass a little bit so you're not so fragile. And you'll get to the place where, oh, that's a good kidney. That's this conference. That's this conference. He's dealing with you individually and collectively. Can you tell? He's giving you ammunition, information, so that no matter where you live, when you're going to know what to do. And it's time to face your Jerichos. It's time to have a renewed mind, not just knowledge. Bow the knee. Get into the war. Let's drive every ite out of the land. And let's become that Joel's army for the last time revival.